My name is Shamika. I have three children. Seth is 9, Victoria is 7, and Legend is 1. I'm working full-time at Sodexo doing catering supervisor.
How long have you been a single mama?
I've been single about over 2 years now, about 2.5 years. I'm a former foster child. My biological mother wasn't around. She was on drugs. So growing up, I thought my grandmother and my grandfather was my mom. Having children of my own, I felt like I wanted to be there for my children. I didn't want my children like to come from like a single parent house at first, you know, because I just thought like, okay, I didn't have both parents. I didn't even have one. So I wanted them to have like both. But I feel like now, as time progresses, at least they have one. Like, I'm there, even though like me and the father's not together. They have me. My oldest brother and my uncle is basically like 4 or 5 years apart. So he still lived in the house when my grandma took us in, because she had us since we was babies. And he'd be like, mom, mom. So we hear him calling her mom, so we'll call her mom. So yeah, but she'd be like, I'm not your mom. And I thought she was playing.
She would say that to your uncle or to you?
To us. She was like, no, I'm not your mom. I'm just like, you know, she had us ever since we was little. Like, I seen the pictures, like, that's all I knew. But I'm like, you are my mom. She was like, no, I'm not your mom.
What did she want you to call her?
First, she was like, grandma. But we did not call her grandma. We called her mom, no matter what. So it's just like, we knew. After we, like, got to a certain age, like, yeah, we know you're not our mom. But it's just a habit. Like, we still call her mom.
Do you remember the first time that you were becoming a mom?
I was 25, living in Stockton. It was scary. I was going to school, San Joaquin Delta College at the time, living on my own, and I found out I was pregnant, and it was exciting and scary at the same time, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm gonna be a mom. I didn't know what to expect. I was like, okay, I gotta get a real job, because I was just going to school, so just like, you know, now I had like somebody else to think about. So I stopped going to school and I started working at St. Mary's for Sodexo while I was pregnant. And during the first trimester, I almost had a miscarriage. So I was like bedridden for about a month or so. And even like, I was in labor for like over 24 hours. So, and I still delivered him regularly. And so he was a dry birth and he was in ICU for like 3 days. I think that was like the hardest thing ever, because I cried. I was like, what's wrong with my baby? What did I do? So,
do you remember giving birth?
I got induced, and at first I'm like, I'm not going to do drugs.
So we're talking about epidural, right?
Yes. But yeah, I got induced. I want to say it's Pitocin.
Cause,
yeah, because my water broke, but I was not having no contractions, so they induced me. And as the drops got stronger, like the contractions, so I was like, yeah. It's like, I thought I was dilated further than what I was, because I'm like, okay, I got this. And like, nothing could ever like explain like what you go through when you have contractions, because I think I was at like 6 centimeters. Or not even 6, like 4. And I thought I was like at 8 or 9. And he was like, no, you only at 4. I was like, yeah, give me the epidural. And then, you know, I tried breathing and everything. And I was just like, no, I want the epidural. Like, I tried to go natural. I want the epidural. So,
And who was with you?
My biological mother was there at the time. My grandma, my auntie, the children's father. Like, it was like a whole room full of people. Like, my nephew, my sister. So yeah, it was a lot of people.
It was a community event.
Yes, it was. It was the first child, like the first grandchild. So yeah. Well,
and what was it like to have your biological mom with you as you're birthing a child?
I was glad she was there. She was nervous as heck. Like, she didn't know what to do. She was like, you need anything, this and that. And I don't know, like, on epidural, like, you know, you don't feel nothing, and my leg fell off the bed, and I think that was the funniest thing ever. I didn't mean to say my leg was on the ground, I meant to say my leg fell off the bed, and she was just really looking on the ground, And I'm just like, no, my leg. But she was just so nervous. She was just like, okay, okay, you okay? She was finding the nurses and everything.
So she was clean at that moment.
Yes, she was. So that was a good thing.
And has she stayed in your life?
In and out. In and out.
How about now?
Well, she went MIA for a couple of months. And just like a couple of weeks ago, she just popped back up. She was back on drugs, so this time she says she's clean and she's trying to be there for us and her grandchildren. So we'll see. We'll see.
What's your relationship with her now? Are you like a guidance figure for your mom as opposed to the other way?
I don't think so, because she don't know nothing about it, about being a mom. And I feel like even with us now that we're older, it's like we're more friends than, you know, it's like mother-daughter relationship. And I kind of want to show her, like, okay, these are your grandchildren, you know, like, be a grandmother. Because my daughter met her, because she haven't seen her since she was, like, little. And she met her again, and she was like, Mom, who was that? It's like, that's your granny Neat. And she was like, my granny Neat? It's like, yeah, that's your grandma. So it's like, all right. And I was like telling her, like, that's a sign, like, you know, you need to come around more so they can get to know you. Like, these are your grandchildren. They don't even know who you are.
And how do you really balance having compassion and empathy for her while also teaching your children about part of their story and their roots? And I don't know, but maybe also feeling abandoned in some ways by this woman. Like, what does that look like for you?
Gosh.
It's a big question, and I'll edit it. And you might not feel abandoned by her. You might think, like, oh, she did the best thing for me. I'm just guessing. I'm just projecting, like, this is somebody who maybe her intention wasn't to abandon you, but because of circumstances, she probably did in some ways, right? She couldn't be there for you as your mom. And now you're trying to have her around and be compassionate and all
that. Yeah, I'm trying to. I know a couple of years ago, I had this conversation more than once with her about how I felt abandoned when I was younger, how she left us and she wasn't there for us. And I was like, it wasn't okay. You know, it's like everybody else had a mom and I'm looking for a mom and she wasn't there. Like, I got letters from jail and cards, like, full of empty promises. And now that I'm older, you know, it's like the same thing, which she's not in jail and there's nothing stopping. So why not support or, you know, like, follow through with your promises? And that being said, like, with my children, I just want them to know, like, okay, you know, it's nothing that y'all doing. Because at first when I was growing up, like, I thought it was like me, you know, it's like, why she's not there? It's like, is it she didn't want me? Was I that bad? You know, it's like all this stuff. And it's like, no. So I'm like, you guys, it's nothing that y'all did. There's nothing wrong with you guys. And just, you know, she's not ready. And I don't want them to, like, shut her out. And, you know, like, they don't want nothing to do with her. And it's like, no, you know, everybody will change, you know, in their day. Like, we'll just, hopefully it's before, you know, it's too late. So
you're a mom of three children, all with the same dad, right?
Yes.
So then for your third, around the time that you become pregnant with your third child, the relationship changes. Do you want to talk about when did you shift from being a family to being another type of a family, but without dad at home with you?
Well, yeah, I want to say, like, our relationship always been, like, rocky and up and down. This last time when I was pregnant with my youngest, Legend, we had actually broken up and we got back together and he made promises that he was going to do better and everything and treat me better, which he didn't, because I went through, like, a lot of verbal abuse through the whole relationship. And
in times where he used your own past or things that you confided with him really against you as weapons against you, with like verbal weapons in a way?
Yes, yes.
Could you give an example?
So like I said, I was a foster child, so I'm a warden at the court. So I couldn't find him because like we was together on and off for like over 9 years. So when we get in arguments or whatever, he get mad and he be like, yeah, you know, you're gonna, if you ever leave me, don't put our kids in the system like you was in the system. And you know, it's like, you're gonna do this to your children where they not gonna have both family, you know, mother and father, because you grew up not having that. That's not fair for them. So it's like, you know, again, I didn't want to like do that to my children, because it's like mentally it's like, oh, you know, I didn't have that. So, you know, what if?
Yeah.
What if, you know, like I did have it, like how would I turn out and stuff like that? So,
so when he would say, if you ever leave me, this and this will happen. So things were contentious sometimes in the relationship or tense, making him think that potentially you could want to leave. And that's why he threatened you, do you think?
I think so. When I finally left the first time, we was broken up for almost a year, but not quite. It was like 9 months or so. And I tried to like do it where, well, he left. I kicked him out the house and I let him get the kids when he wanted to. And even like then, like when I would go pick up the kids, he'd just be like so hateful and hurtful, you know, calling me out my name, just everything. Oh, I hate you and this and that. So I was like, okay. Then,
like, oh, and I forget, why did you kick him out of the house? What was like the inciting incident that led to that, or the last straw? By the way, with any question, you can say, like, F you, I don't want to tell you, and that's fine. I'll just err on the side of asking, and you can tell me if you don't want to tell me something.
No. The reason why I kicked him out was he wasn't working. Like, and that was his pattern. Like, he'd get a job and have it for, like, a couple of months and, you know, like, start calling in more frequently and not showing up. And it's like, you know, I'm working my tail off doing doubles and all this other stuff, working late nights. And it's like, I feel like it's not just on me. Even with the kids, you know, they get sick, I'm up with the kids when they sick and everything, getting their clothes ready. And then he's just at home playing video games, you know, smoking weed and just like chilling at home. I'm like busting my tail off to like make sure everything's staying afloat. So, yeah. And then I got pregnant with my youngest, Legend. We got back together. He made promises that he was going to change and do better and be better. And got pregnant with my youngest, like I said, and it got worse. Like, he didn't do nothing better. Like, the verbal abuse actually got worse while I was pregnant. Like, I was depressed the whole time I was pregnant. Just before I found out I was pregnant, I had got a DUI prior to him. I was drinking the night before, and he had to go to work, and he drove himself to work and let me get behind the wheel to drive back home.
You know what? That's a really powerful story. So if you want to tell that one, I want you to tell it slowly so that there's room for people to have compassion. Because didn't you say there was like a big fight where he was being verbally abusive, so then you had something to drink, and then he woke you up from your sleep to drive and stuff like that? If you want to talk about the DUI, I would say all that, so you won't be like, people won't be like, oh, why was she driving? Do you want to like tell the full
story of the DUI?
If you want to include it. So like how that happened and how he's, because then he's using that against you. In my opinion, he screwed you with this story. So if you want to talk about that because you brought it up, like, take your time. Tell the story the way that you experienced it. Like, he was being an asshole.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, earlier that night when it happened, we had got into an argument, and I forgot what it was about, honestly, but I just know we was arguing, and he was just being such an asshole, and, you know, we was going back and forth to the point where he was like, yeah, don't touch me, and we try to close the door, he'll go back in the room. So I'm just like, okay, I went downstairs, and I had some vodka, and I was drinking while he, after, like, because after the fight, he was just like, okay, he went in the room like nothing happened, smoked this weed, and went to sleep. And so I stayed up, and I was drinking, and then I went to sleep, and he had to go to work the next day in the morning time. And he woke up, got ready for work, and I guess tried to wake me up. And I was still intoxicated to the point where, like, he knew I couldn't drive because he took pictures and everything. I mean, and he was in, he told me to this day, like, yeah, look, he tried to show me, like, the next couple of days, like, yeah, this was you. But he knew I shouldn't have been behind the wheel. But he actually drove himself to the bus stop, went to work, and then let me get behind the wheel. And I don't remember even getting behind the wheel, to be honest. I just woke up and the police was there. They said, like, I was trying to resist, which, again, like, I don't remember. Like, I probably was, to be honest. And,
So you had an accident?
I drove into a ditch. So it wasn't like an accident per se. I just drove my car in a ditch, thankfully. But that happened. But as I was, like, sobered up in the holding cell, the first thing came to my mind was my children. Like, I just started panicking and was so nervous about my children. Like, that's all I could think about. My neighbor, Miss Ray, she was able to come pick me up. So she picked me up, but ever since then, like, he'll hold my DUI against me. Like, oh yeah, you got the DUI. Like, you're alcoholic and, you know, you shouldn't be driving. But I just feel like the whole time, like, who in their right mind will let somebody drive like that behind? Like, you know, like, you done took pictures and everything, like, taunting, like, this was you, this and that.
And, your intention was to sleep it off. Yeah, but he needed to work, right?
He needed to work because I was off. So I had no intentions on going nowhere. Like, I was like, oh, whatever, you know, hey, I could sleep in the next day. Like, it's fine. Like, yeah, but no, he didn't want to walk or, you know, do whatever he had to do elsewhere. It was, like, all about him.
So then soon after that, you find out you're pregnant with your youngest son?
Yes, soon after that, I found out I was pregnant with my youngest son. And things didn't get any better at all. It actually got worse. I went to court and everything, found out I had to do DUI classes, AA meetings, pay fines and everything. Also, during that same period of time, we wasn't together. We just ended up breaking it off. But we were supposed to be like roommates, I guess, in a way, where I'm like, hey, I pay my half of the rent, you pay your half of the rent. Like, that's how it's going to be. Like, we just going to be housemates for the time being. Just before I had my son, so, like, in November, I found out he wasn't paying his half of the rent. So we got kicked out our place. So that was, like, nerve-wracking because, again, like, as a mom, you want to, like, provide for your children and be there. And I felt like I was failing my kids, like, just in every way. Like, I am not a good role model. Like, I got DUI, like, you know, that's not a good role model because anything could happen. And we lost our place. So I don't got a DUI. Don't have a car. So the transport.
Don't have a home now.
Right. Don't have a home. You know, like, I didn't know where we was going to go at first. Like, I'm calling, like, everybody I knew. Like, oh, well, can I stay here with you? Can I stay there? And also thinking about, like, I still got to go to work. And, like, I have a couple of people. My sister was like, yeah, you come stay with me, but that's way in Sacramento. And I'm like, traveling to work, like, I can't make that. But luckily, the children's father, mother said we could stay there. And it was only supposed to be for, like, a couple of months, but it ended up being, like, 6 months or so that I stayed there. But, yeah, and I'm still struggling going through everything because I still don't have my own place. I'm living with family.
Yeah, talk about who – that's in my next question. What does it look like to make ends meet as a single mom in the Bay Area? Who do you live with? What does your day-to-day life with your kids look like?
Okay, so I live with my family. We stay in a three-bedroom apartment.
And how many people live in the three-bedroom?
Don't let me go. It's my auntie, my two cousins, one of their child, my grandmother, me, and my three children. So nine people.
Nine people in a three-bedroom.
In a three-bedroom, two-bathroom. So it's kind of crammed in there. It's really crammed. Like, basically, my room slash the children's room is the living room. Like, we have to make ends meet. We're splitting rent, like, three ways. Rent is $23.50, so it's, like, it's expensive. Like, I was trying to find a place on my own, and I just couldn't afford it. On the positive,
so you and your kids share the living room.
Yes, yes, we do. On a positive note, since it is, like, everybody, like, they do help with my children. My grandmother, she watched my youngest child, Legend, because before I went back to work, I was looking at the cost of daycare, and that's expensive. It's like almost $500 a week, and I can't afford that. That's all I make within a week, so it's like, you know, if I pay that, then I would seriously have nothing at all. So, yeah, but we all help out one another.
And how did your life change after you asked for child support from the children's dad?
Dramatically. I want to say in the summertime, around July. It was around July or so. I told the children's father I needed help financially, which when we broke off the first time, we tried to do like a verbal agreement about it. And he wouldn't always come through. It's like, oh, well, I don't have the money this time, or I only could give you this much. So this time in July, like, I'm like, okay, I need help. And I just went for child support. And he found out I was going for child support. So instead of going to court, he went to court to get custody. And he was trying to use my DUI, like, oh, you got a DUI. I'm going to get full custody of the kids. You're not going to get the kids, this and that.
And prior to this, they were with you full-time, 100% of the time?
Yes, they were. Like, no, they was with me full-time. He got the kids when he felt like getting them, which was, like, rarely. And even then, like, he didn't fully have them. Like, you know, somebody else would have them. So it was just, like, when it's convenient for him.
So you use the system that's in place to help people like you, right, so that you can make ends meet and take care of your children. And then in the end, he, rather than helping support you financially, he tries to get custody taken away from you?
Yes. And we went to court, and they actually granted him joint custody. So we have joint custody now. And after I found that out, I was still checking on my child support case, and they told me if I actually went through with child support, since he don't work, I will actually end up paying him child support. And he don't work because he don't want to. It's nothing like physically wrong with him or anything like that. He just don't work because he don't want to. So I actually had to close my case, and I'm paying everything, like medical, all their hygiene, just everything that they need, clothes, like I'm paying for that on my own.
Do you feel like the system failed you?
Actually, I do. I really do. I do. I feel like it's not fair. It's not fair because, again, like he's not working willingly. So there's no reason why, like, they should allow that to even happen.
And do you think if had you not asked for child support, where do you think he would be with the custody case?
If I didn't ask for child support, he wouldn't even ask for joint custody. He just did the joint custody just to get out of paying child support. So in both ways, like, it worked out for him, I guess.
Yeah. So what do you think about this? Like, the court will say, like, children are entitled to child support. They deserve it. This is money that's for them, and we can't deny it from the children. But it's a double-edged sword because, well, this is true. When the parent asks for it so often, the other parent will say, well, let me just adjust the custody share then. And then maybe all of a sudden mom goes from having the kids 100% of the time to now 50% or some percentage of the time. Yeah. How do you feel about that whole thing?
I feel like I don't really think they think about the kids like that because they're actually hurting them. From my experience, what's going on right now, the father have joint custody and he's not even providing like half the stuff that they really need. You know, again, like he just did it to get out of child support. So it's like, I don't think they really look at all aspects when they, you know, do grant these like cases and stuff like that. And even like when I went through my custody court, and they was saying, like, nowadays they rarely grant sole custody. They rarely do. So, of course, in my mind, like, I thought, like, okay, hey, let me just prove these points and maybe I get it. It's like, no. So, I'm going to have to go back to court again just to, like, get more custody of my children.
If you could speak to the people that are in place to decide on, like, here's kind of the baseline for what the custody agreement should look like, and here's how all this should go, and like this default position to 50-50, like what would you say to the lawmakers who've put this system in place if you could influence them to think about this differently? What do you wish they would think about?
I wish they'd think about like all aspects, like really look into everything. Like, I just feel like, again, they just going by, like, oh, I just feel like they should be with both parents both the times. And even now, like, they don't even listen to a child's voice until they, like, 12 or 13. So it's like, everybody's affected right now. Everybody's affected. And they should really consider, like, just everything, all the factors.
So, in summary, you had the kids full-time, and now you have them. How does your time with your kids look in terms of days, and how is it different than how it was before?
So, our joint custody consists of a 2-2-3 parenting plan. So, for instance, this week he have him Monday, Tuesday. I have him Wednesday, Thursday, and then he have him Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And at first, it was hard for me because I'm nursing my youngest son, and I'm still nursing. I told the judge, like, I plan on nursing him till like, the age of two. They told me it's not a necessity. He can have regular milk or whatever, but it's, like, it's the bonding. It's everything. Like, how are you going to just tear away a child like that, and that's nursing, like, the emotional, just everything. Like, I didn't get that. But it was very hard at first. It was hard because I construct my whole life around them, like everything. So when it first happened, like I cried because, again, like they've been around me like all the time, and now I get him either 2 days or, you know, it's like 5 days. So it all depends. It all depends.
Yeah, that's a lot. That made me think of something. Oh, there's already like kind of a gender bias a lot of people feel in the court system. How did you feel about like possible racial bias in terms of the judge, or did you feel marginalized because of being a woman of color in the court system?
No, I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like they're doing it to be, they thinking they're being equal in everything. They don't want to be biased, but in a way, again, like, they're not taking in consideration of everything. Because my judge was an African-American woman. But again, like she said, they rarely do sole custody nowadays. So it's just like, when she said that, I knew my chance was out the window. It's like, yeah. You know, no matter what I say, like, they're not going to do it unless, like, it was, like, real abuse. And when I said I had verbal abuse, you know, he was like, you don't have any proof. There's nothing documented. You have nothing. So then that was, like, kind of sucky, too, at the time, because I always didn't think verbal abuse was, like, anything anyways. Like, it's just words, you know? Like, at first I didn't think that was abuse.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, I'll finish quick because I'm almost at the 30-minute mark. So from the day that, you know, the day that you got the verdict and you found out at least that you had 50%, right, because he was trying to get them taken all the way away.
Yeah.
So that day you were completely devastated. Where are you today and what's gotten you through?
Today, I'm doing better with it. I had to look at the bright side of things. Like, at first, everybody's like, oh, you could have more me time. I'm like, no, I don't want me time. I want my babies. Like, but I took that in consideration, and I'm doing more positive stuff, and I'm actually am doing more me time. I started going back to school, trying to get my degree right now. I'm taking statistics, so I'm doing good in that. And I just cherish the time that they're with me. So,
what would you say to another person who's facing the same struggle, like trying to make ends meet, doing whatever they can to get by, battling with maybe a less than cooperative co-parent, and trying to find the bright side? Like, what would you say to somebody who feels like it's even hard to get out of bed or function like this?
Right, and that's how I feel sometimes too. Like, as long as you have like a good support system, people you could talk to and rely on, because I feel like that's what got me through, because it's still times where I'm struggling and going through it with my children, father, and everything. And I just have people that I could talk to and just, you know, keep me calm and collective and keep me looking at the bright side, because it's hard. It's really hard. And if you don't have that type of support or those people, like, I feel like you're going to, like, really, like, spiral down.
And then lastly, two-part question, you can take it either way. What's the most important lesson you learned from having to go through this really crappy journey that you didn't pick at all? And also, what lessons do you want to impart onto your kids about them and the way that you're navigating now?
So now what I'm doing, my whole little journey is about me. Like, I'm not going to rush into another relationship. You know, also with my children's father, like, I'm learning with him, I got to document everything, just keep documenting everything, because he wishy-washy. And for them, you know, I just want them to see about, like, self-love and how you're supposed to love yourself and how to be a better person.
Awesome. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, awesome.